Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Jesus left and went out to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. His disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Keep praying that you may not enter into temptation." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went to the disciples and found them sleeping as a result of sorrow. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and keep praying so that you may not enter into temptation." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What is your favorite name for our Savior? Chances are it's probably Jesus. It's a name that for many of us has been dear to our hearts and our lives since we were young enough to be able to sing the words, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's a name that we hear and read often, whether it's here in church or in our own devotions and Bible readings at home. Just doing a quick search on the name of Jesus in the New Testament, I found that it's used 980 times in the New King James Version. So, not surprisingly, Jesus is the name that's used far most often for the Son of God in the Bible, which does make sense since it is actually his given name. But why is that name of Jesus so precious to us? Well, first of all, it was a name given by God the Father himself. That was the name he picked for his son. He sent an angel both to Mary and to Joseph to tell them, "This is the name I have chosen for my son, Jesus." Secondly, it's because this name fits. You might already know this, but the name Jesus means Savior. A name that's just five short letters, but in that name, God's plan of salvation is simply described. Best of all, we associate God's wondrous love with this name. How can you hear or use Jesus' name without thinking about his love, without thinking about the salvation that he won for us? This year in our Lenten services, we're going to look at some of the names of our Savior's wondrous love, names that are linked to that wondrous love. And the name we will start with tonight is, of course, the well-known name of wondrous love, Jesus. Did you notice that's the very first word in our text for tonight? First word we read was Jesus. What is Jesus doing the night of our text as he and his disciples head to an olive garden or olive grove in the garden called Gethsemane, a place on the Mount of Olives? I want you to picture with your mind's eye this scene amongst the shadows, probably in the darkness of those olive trees that night before he was crucified, as I read to you again some of the verses from our text. He, Jesus, withdrew from them, the disciples, about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Matthew's gospel tells us that he fervently prayed these words to his heavenly Father three times. What's going on here in this serene, peaceful garden scene that would cause our Savior so much anguish? What is this cup that Jesus is pleading with his Father to take away? Well, it was, of course, the cup of suffering. The cup of suffering that was the payment for all of human sin throughout history. And what a deep and dreadful cup that was. Every hurtful word, every wicked act, every greedy, lustful, hateful thought, all of it, your sins, my sins, every single sin ever, distilled like poison in that cup of suffering that Jesus was about to drink to the bottom on the cross. We can't even fathom the anguish Jesus was going through as he faced the waves of hell about to break over him the next day. Is there any wonder that he turns to his Heavenly Father and pleads, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me." This scene we view once again on this Ash Wednesday in the shadows of Gethsemane is a vivid reminder of the seriousness of sin. We just look and listen to what our Savior went through, and can we ever consider again our sins being somehow insignificant? Something that doesn't really matter that much in the sight of God? But how often don't we just brush our sins off as not really a big deal? We're so used to swimming in our own sinful flesh, in the sinful world that we live in, that we can convince ourselves that it's not really that bad. Or we make excuses. Well, everyone else is doing these things. Who really cares? Can we again shrug our shoulders in those daily temptations to sin, those pet sins of ours that are as common to us by this point as breathing? This scene that we see in Gethsemane reminds us that sin is serious. It is deadly serious. Each one of them helped fill that dreadful cup of which Jesus spoke. Each one of them made the Savior bleed. What we see in this scene, more than just the seriousness of sin and the unimaginable suffering it caused Jesus, our Savior, as he paid the full punishment of our sins to the very last drop, we see something very important. We see, as we ask the question, what is Jesus doing here? Why is he here? Why is the one innocent man who ever lived willing to shoulder the punishment for all our sins, for the sins of all human history? Why is he willing to go through this plan of his Heavenly Father's to save us? When we hear Jesus plead, "Take this cup away from me," and yet he adds the words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done," do we really have to ask why? It has to be because he loves us. He loves us with a love that if I were to preach 1,000 Ash Wednesday sermons, I couldn't begin to adequately describe that deep love he has for us. His name fits beautifully. Jesus, Savior. Jesus who loves fallen, sinful people like us with an incredible, indescribable, unexplainable love. Little Mikey sat at the dinner table and ended his prayer with these words, "Dear Lord, put the vitamins in the pie and the cake instead of in the cauliflower and the broccoli." We smile and we chuckle a bit at little Mikey's prayer, but how often don't our prayers resemble his? Lord, just give me the good stuff. Give me the things that are sweet. Give me the stuff that I like to taste, that I like to have. Leave out those things that are difficult, the things that don't taste good to me. But when God doesn't give us the sweetness, well, we love it when he does. We are very willing to say, "Thy will be done, Lord. Keep those blessings coming." But when he doesn't, when our health disappears, when our family disappoints, when our plans don't work out, when our checkbook doesn't balance, when friends prove unfaithful, when the words of gossip wound us deeply, when our faith is belittled, when we're insulted, when the cross we're called to bear bears down on our shoulders and seems to be too heavy for us to carry, what do we do then? Does our response shift to not your will, but mine be done? And then does our praying turn into something more like demanding things from God? Well, walk with me back another time to the shadows of Gethsemane once again and marvel at Jesus' words, his words of wondrous love. This time he shows his love for his heavenly Father. Three times Jesus asked his Father to remove this load of suffering, to find another way. When the answer was no, look at what our Savior did, or look at what he didn't do. There was no murmuring. There was no questioning or railing against the Father's will. No, why, God? No questioning or resisting his wisdom or his plan. There were no doubts about the Father's love or dissatisfaction with the Father's way. Instead, he says, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' perfect love for his heavenly Father allowed him to surrender completely to the Father's way and his Father's will, even when it led from Gethsemane's shadows to Calvary's cross. When we find that God's work in our lives at times is painful, how do we react? Do we rebel? Do we fight against his will, even accusing him of not caring at all, or at least doubting his wisdom and his ways? Why are you doing this, God? Don't you know I'd be a much better Christian or a much better husband or wife or pastor if you didn't give me these challenges, difficulties, and burdens to bear? We've all been there, haven't we? And it's especially in those times that we need to look again to our Savior Jesus in that garden, that Thursday evening of Holy Week. He was there driven by his love for us. He was there to earn forgiveness for our self-willed rebellion against God, our resistance to God's perfect will. And those drops of blood that dripped from his forehead that night were a painful preview of how far his love was willing to take him. Not just to Gethsemane, but all the way to the cross, to pay our debt of sin and to wipe our sin slate completely clean. Look again at our Savior in the shadows of that garden and find in him the power to submit to our Father's will. There is nothing wrong with praying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. We know there's nothing wrong with it because Jesus prayed that prayer. But let's be sure, like Jesus, to add the words, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus, our Savior, our friend, our helper, will give us the strength we need to follow our loving Heavenly Father's perfect will in our lives, just as Jesus once received strength from his Heavenly Father. Remember that even though the Heavenly Father's answer was no, what did he do for Jesus that night? Our text says in verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. We call him Jesus. That is our favorite name for him. God help us to never forget why. It's because of his wondrous love that brought him down to earth to be our rescuer in our greatest need, our Savior from all our sins. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.